I want to share with you some thoughts from Acts chapter 20 and give you some pictures. I'll try not to repeat what Dale said, but there's probably a little bit of an overlap in some of the pictures, so just bear with me. If you have your Bibles, you can look there in Acts chapter 20. I want to show you four things, and entitle what I'm going to share with you is what a missionary should do. What a missionary should be about. In this passage, Paul is reminding the pastors at Ephesus how he lived, what he believed, and what he did while he was among them. At the center of all this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the center. The gospel that changed lives, the gospel that changed him, but now he's proclaiming that gospel to others. And as you read this, that's what you were hearing. He was explaining how he did it, but at the very center, at the very heart of everything, was about Christ, was about the gospel. And so missionaries, number one, are to share the gospel in humility. Look in verse 18 and 19. And when they came to him, and he said to them, you yourselves know, Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders there, other pastors, you know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set forth in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. So he's saying, I serve the Lord with humility. Paul says, when I lived among you, I lived this way. You saw how I lived. You looked at my life, and I sought to live with humility. Paul was not proud. He was not arrogant. He was not self-righteous. He did not lord over the people. But he sought to proclaim the grace of God that had saved him through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the center of it all. Jesus is my Savior. I want to proclaim him. Paul lived to exalt Jesus. Paul lived so that Jesus could be known. That's what I saw in the Bokum camp's life. Leaving America, this is San Diego, and going to Mexico took a lot of change for this family. Can you imagine you tomorrow picking all your stuff up, leaving a lot of it behind or selling it, and then taking what you can across the border and living in a whole different culture? Not easy for any of us, particularly when you have a big family and dragging six kids along. But Lord sent them. Going from this to something like this. Different place, different language, different people. Here's where they took their van that you know, filled it full, and everywhere they went, with happy hearts and humility, they went to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we saw them doing. Part of our trip was to kind of get a vision of what's going on down there and seeing how we could connect better. And so this is what we did. The first place we stopped, Dale's already mentioned this, was the rotisserie chicken place. Okay, this is like your KFC, okay? That's all they have there. But I must admit, they're a little better than KFC. Kirk had a plan for us. Part of that plan was sharing the gospel wherever we went. And you already know this, when this is Raul, like Dale said. And Raul would come by, ask for food. They would clean him up, give him a plate of food. And of course, they would share the gospel with him every single time. In their house, they had these boxes full of gospel tracts, particularly one, maybe you've seen it, that says, what to do with your guilt? And all that's translated into Spanish. And I saw the boxes there. I said, Kurt, what are these boxes? So, oh, those are gospel tracts. Somebody in Oregon said, every time you need tracts, let us know. We'll supply them. They had thousands of them, if you will. And, of course, that was the thing that they took and would share. Whether it was privately, whether it was with their family, whether it was at the fiesta, Kirk stands up. It'd be beautiful if you were there to hear him struggling. Probably Lisa and Ileana, the better speakers in Spanish. That's just how God's gifted them. But Kirk's working really hard to learn Spanish. I say that to pray for him. But he stood up amongst 80 people that he invited to this fiesta. Does this surprise you? The Bokum camp's inviting 80 people and about 80 of them come? Not quite, 75. And what he does at the beginning is he begins to explain. I don't know it because I don't know Spanish, but he begins to explain why he was there, why they were there, glad you were here. And he's reading these things from Spanish and doing a pretty good job. And so this is the Bokum camp family. They do that whether they're at their house. They do that whether they're in the park. They do that at church. They walk in humility, are willing to give up. And of course, they do it whether at the border. You'll see this, but this is Sergio. I will tell you a little bit more about Sergio, but this young man and Anna, which we saw earlier, actually the Boken camps led them to faith in Christ. They're the ones that they met at the park, and this couple's life was radically changed. When I first met Anna in the home, she didn't know English, but I was asking her through Lisa who she was and what she was doing. You could tell the joy of Jesus was bubbling over in this girl's life. She just kept talking and talking about it. Jesus had changed her. She was so different now. She had no hope, nothing about her future. She was ready to just end it all, basically, even though she had little children. She had no hope. But now Christ had changed her life, and she had such joy. I'll tell you more about Sergio in a minute. Okay, second, not only do you see that they were walking in humility to give up what they had so comfortably in America and to go to a place that was so different, that takes sacrifice. And I say also, brothers and sisters, it takes a humble heart, a willingness to say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to hang on to those things. I'll give them up for your gospel. And we saw that. I don't think that surprises any of you if you know them, right? Second thing we saw is they shared the gospel. And this is what Paul says in verse 20 and 21, both publicly and from house to house. Let me give you a little interpretation here. It says here in this passage that Paul taught the gospel and shared the gospel because he was convinced that the gospel was profitable. Notice that word in verse 20. I did not shrink from declaring you anything that was profitable. That means what is beneficial for your very life. Well, the Boken camps know that the gospel is beneficial for those people in El Papalote. They're there because Christ has changed them, and they want them to know about this Jesus. We heard it over and over. And Paul, in the same way, did not seek to bring a message that he made up. He received it, by the way, that's the word that's in this passage, I guess it's a little bit further down. He received the gospel, and he gives it to them. And he believes that this is profitable, so he went teaching publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and the Greeks, verse 21, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether it was in Paul's circle of influence in the homes that he went into, the family, friends, the co-workers, or the neighbors, or whether it was out in the public, people he didn't necessarily know, he would go to the synagogue and he would preach the same thing, the gospel of Jesus. And of course, he would give that for all those people who would hear, verse 21, both to the Jews and to the Greeks. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. Was it the English or the Americans? Excuse me, the Americans or the Spanish or the Mexicans. They're all the same. The gospel's the same, right? Everyone needs to hear about this Christ. And actually, the response to the gospel's the same. He said, whether it was Jews or Greeks, what did we teach? Verse 21, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the message, right? For you to respond, for anyone to respond, it's the same thing. It's for all times, all places, everywhere. Doesn't matter if it's here. Doesn't matter if it's around the world. Doesn't matter if it was 10,000 years ago. That's, okay, too far. 2,000 years ago. Or last week. You know what I mean. Sorry. It's the same message. They need Christ and the message of the cross. And so Paul taught this everywhere he went. Well, no surprise to you. Boken camps did the same. Their main focus is on the migrant community. And there are some big companies there that produce tomatoes and anything you can grow out in a hot climate where you can bring in the rain. It's a lot. I don't know if you've been to Southern California. We lived in Southern California for a while. It reminded me a lot of Southern California in that sense. It's near the ocean, but right outside the ocean, it's just sand. And you can just about grow anything in sand if you have the right kind of connections and as well as if you have the right water. Well, here's one of them, Los Pinos. Here's a big warehouse where they package the product. They clean it up. They send it out. A lot of this stuff is coming up here to the United States, but they grow them in these hot houses. So most of the people that live there in the community are these migrant workers, and they meet them out in the parks. They meet them out in the communities, or they go door to door in these communities around them. Now, let me show you what I mean. I don't know if you can tell this, but you see all this brown here? That's our hothouses, and they're everywhere. That's what I showed you up close, the picture before. And so most of the people in El Papalote are in these hothouses. The other thing, and I'll go ahead and jump in and make this connection, a lot of these people are coming up from Oaxaca up into the area where Kirk and Lisa are and living there, making money and sending the money back to, Dale showed you where Oaxaca was. I don't know if that name sounds familiar to you, but let me make you another connection. It is Kirk and Lisa who went to, right over here, the Mexican restaurant. What's the name of it? It's slipping my mind right now. El Nopal, thank you. And what do they find at El Nopal? People from Oaxaca. Do you see how God made that connection? He gave them a heart while they were getting slop for their pigs. Somebody mentioned that. Gave them a heart for the Oaxacan people, and then God made the connection. So a lot of the people that come up from Oaxaca live in these areas and work in these farming communities, a lot of them. So they already have these connections with people in Oaxaca. Interesting how God works. So the church, the particular area they work with in Northern Lights, in Oaxaca, there's a number of different churches. Basically, the format is to build a building where on the top layer, I think Dale's already said this, but let me repeat it. This top area is the church building where they worship. And there's the stairs you go up to. On the bottom is the pastor's house. And this is, I think, the pastor, well, he's not on this picture. I'll show you later. So basically, that's what they're doing. They're going publicly, going house to house, sharing the gospel. And of course, this is Raul. As Dale said, Raul is a homeless guy that comes regularly to their house for food. And of course, they share the gospel with him. Of course, they share the gospel wherever they go, to the smelly dump. Thanks, Dale, for telling my little secret there. If you don't like smells, it's a hard place to be. I'm serious. I mean, I walk out of that place and I almost let go of everything. It just stinks. But I'm thankful that Dale can make that. And so I send Dale, I'll stay back in the van and pray for him. That's what I said. We need both. If you can stand the smell, fine. But these men, you can see it here. We bring a table out. You have sandwiches that they put out there for the men. Drinks. I don't know if I have another picture of this. You see Dale and Diane over there smiling and ready to. So they do a little bit of worship. The guy that's the pastor there, his name is Arturo. It's not Raul. It's a different one. There's another pastor that, I don't think I have a picture of him there. So here they're handing out the Cokes. Of course, they love the Coca-Cola there. Sorry, it's not changing on me. There we go. Whoop, back. I just see that. Here's the pastor. Pastor, one of the local churches, one of the Northern Lights sponsored churches. Can't remember the name of it, but this is Pastor Arturo. He was saved, and he used to go to the dump. I don't know exactly how he was saved, but he had a heart for the men that were there. So he would come back. He would bring this is one of the deacons of the church, and they would go and sing songs and preach the gospel. I think they do it once a month or something. Okay. So that's another ministry. Of course, the ministry the Buckets camps have, we've already seen it, is the big fiesta, a fun party where they invited, again, about 80 people, what they told me. I think they had 70 or 75 people to come. You've seen these. And then, of course, the third thing I want you to see from this passage is this was Paul's single-minded purpose. We've hit it, but I want you to see it again. Look in verse 24. Paul says, I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. But here's what Paul says he lists for. If only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God. Hear what he's saying? What's my very life and purpose for? To testify about God's grace in Christ. That's his life. That's what he wants to run his life for. That's what he lives for. Paul's response was to keep the gospel central. Keep the gospel the main thing. Brothers and sisters, if you heard me preach, that's what I try to preach on all the time. You probably get tired of hearing me. But that's the central message of the church. And that should be the central message of our missionaries. It's the central message of the pastor you hear every week. And I'm glad for it. Pastor Keith preaches the gospel. That's what needs to be taught. That's not what needs to be said. not just what it means to be saved, but how the gospel then transforms our life as we walk in Christ also. And so this was what Paul was saying. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is the good news of Jesus. And he's running the race for that. Matter of fact, let me remind you that this main thing, that is the gospel of Jesus, is not something that Paul made up. It's not something that he wrote. It's something he received on the road to Damascus when he was blinded by Jesus and said, "You're persecuting me, now I'm going to change you." And so Paul's very clear about, he says here, that he has received this gospel. That's something, to receive something is not something that you give, it's something that you are given, right? And you take it, you believe it. And so all the teaching and all the preaching of our missionaries must have this single-minded purpose, to point people to Christ, to point people to his person, to point people to his work. This is what a missionary ought to do. That's what a pastor should do. It's no surprise to you. That's what the Boken Camps do. So let me share you a few more pictures here of these very things. El Papalote, that's the area that they live in. They're there, and what they do, they go down to the parks. This is a new park that's recently developed, but they go to the parks, at least when they have opportunity, and they just, whoever's there, they're sharing the gospel with them, handing out tracts, talking to them about Jesus. Or they go to the homes. The other thing that also happens there, and of course we're loosely connected to it, is a Bible school. This is, bear with me here, I've got a few more minutes. This is the seminary, I know I should know this, I'm sorry. This stands for, what is it, Dale? Okay, Biblical Baha. Is it Seminary Biblical Baha? I think I was right. Seminary Biblical Baha. It's kind of hard in English. But anyway, this is the group that Northern Lights, which is where Kurt has gone through, has started, although our supports to support the pastors and teach the pastors in that area. And so one of the churches here, and here's the classroom in one of the churches, where one of this man here, Ramon, teaches in. He was a pastor, been a pastor in the El Papalote area, and he started the seminary to train other pastors. So all of these younger pastors that are in these churches, including Esteban, has gone through the seminary classes here. So that's what part of Northern Lights has done. Northern Lights has been a place that built a lot of buildings there, but they've also invested in pastors in that way. So Dale's already mentioned this, but I just want to remind you, there's Oaxaca. What's happening is these people in Oaxaca are coming up here often to live and to work in the fields and so forth. But we also know that some people in Oaxaca go across the street over here and work here. Because as we've talked to them, that's where they're from. That gives you a little picture there. It's a little blurry there. But these are some of the missionaries and some of the pastors that work here. Or even they've sent some missionaries down to Oaxaca because of their connection. Okay, and then of course there's Gringo Church. That's just the white church, if you will. It's technically not a church. It's a Bible study. I don't know if I would call it a church. It's really just but I got a chance to share on that while I was there. That was a great time. And then here's one of the churches. Dale's already shown you a picture of the inside. I want you to see the outside of this. Just a building that's put up against a concrete wall. And maybe I got a good picture of... Well, there's the pastor. Here's another church. This is not in the Northern Light group, but it's in the sister church. You heard about Lucy earlier. This is a group of churches that Jose and Lucy came from Southern California down to help. And this is one of their churches. And this is where you go to the bathroom. No matter what church you're in, you go to the bathroom, it's outside. I was hoping you smile. I know it's getting late. Okay. So they're sharing the gospel with a single-minded purpose. And one other thought about this, the people of Mexico celebrate the dead. And this is one of the graveyards. And sometimes someone has said their graveyards and the places that they build for their dead people in the graveyard, some of the things look better than their houses they live in. But anyway, it's a dark place. They don't know about Christ. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know that Christ can change them and save them. And so finally, this is it. I want you to see in verse 33, Paul says, I coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than receive. Have you experienced that? Do you know of this truth? A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to sacrificially give. We see this in the Bokenkamp's life. He's willing to set aside his own desires, his own needs to love other people. Missionaries go to share the gospel in areas like this, have to give up their own desires, their own needs at times, and give to other people. But you know what? Isn't that what God has done for us? Isn't it really the heart of the gospel? God himself gave his only son. That's the greatest gift there could ever be given, right? He demonstrated for us it is more blessed to give than receive. And not only that, his son did the same thing. Jesus didn't have to come. He could have said, no, Father, I'm not going to do it. He didn't do that, did he? He could have said at some point, I can't take this anymore. Come get me. Or let's call down 1,000 angels and stop this. He didn't do it. He himself demonstrated to the fullness, brother and sister, that he was a man, God-man, who understood these truths. That it is more blessed for me to give my life for you on the cross, that you can know God himself, than to receive something that I really want. Jesus put aside his own manhood, his own godliness, to die for us. And so that's the kind of heart that God looks for in pastors, but particularly in missionaries. What needs there is. So let me ask you, will you live your life like this? Are you willing to hear the words of Jesus? It's more blessed to give than to receive. I believe our brothers and sisters in Mexico, the Bokenkamps, have shown this to us, where they took all their belongings and went down, and they don't have a whole lot of these roads right here, by the way. Most of the roads in their community, one blacktop road through the city of the town. The rest of it's all dirt. So once you get off the road, and it's not just dirt, it's holes, bumpy stuff, you know. That's the way they live. The Lord has blessed them with a great home through Northern Lights, and they have found a community of churches there that they love and serve. This is some of that. And then, of course, Dale mentioned it earlier, but we do want to pray for Jose and Lucy. Lucia. Lucia is a fantastic communicator of the gospel, passionate about Jesus, passionate about the gospel. So her and Lisa make an incredible team. Wherever they go, whether it's in the park, whether it's at the flea market, wherever they go, whether it's at the border, where we're sitting in a line, everywhere, we're hearing them share the gospel of Jesus. Whether it's for all, whether it's with the farming community, whether they're going house to house. By the way, notice some of these houses, they're not even finished. This is typical of a community. They build on their house when they get the money to build. So this is not like they're in the middle of a building project. Well, kind of, but it might be years before they are able to finish their houses. But a lot of times they'll start with a small tent, and then they'll begin to build as they have opportunity. Where they get the land, well, either they can buy the land, or sometimes the place where they work for will rent them a land or give them a piece of land for working there. So, where the people live, where the Bokenkamps live. One last thing about the people here. This man right here, Sergio, we already talked a little bit about them, but I want you to remember his name and pray for him. I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, this man's gifted to bring the gospel to his people. His testimony, Kirk told me that's the first time he had ever heard Sergio give a testimony about what Christ has done in his life publicly. I can't speak Spanish. I don't understand Spanish. But you could tell when this man was speaking, he knew Jesus. And he was sharing with his people at that group, that party that Kirk shared about how Christ had changed his life. He was going from scripture to scripture to scripture, opening up the Bible, reading them. So that's why I knew what was going on. You could tell what he was going. God's done a work in Sergio's life. He's a young man on fire for Jesus and his wife Anna there. We will pray. We continue to pray for them. And then Esteban and his family. Esteban, quite frankly, has been trained in the right kind of theology through John MacArthur listening to him on the radio. That's how he's getting it. I hate to tell you, but that's where it is. But the man knows Christ. He knows how to communicate to his people. You could tell. Again, I was sitting there. I don't know Spanish. We had the Google Translate, but I was watching the Google Translate if it's all right. And he was walking through how to pray. And he was telling them that the prayers of the Catholic Church are wrong. Hail Marys are wrong. He was going on and on with the. He knows his people. He loves his people. He's trying to teach them how to pray. And it was really good. The people were going, amen. And you could tell they were listening to him. My point is, this man's gifted in understanding to preach the gospel. And probably is one that God can use in that whole area where those migrants live. He's preaching the gospel, trying to tell them about Christ. I'll stop. I'll go on and on. And finally, it takes a lot to bring missionaries down and take them across the border. Yeah, it was not easy. But the Lord got us over there, and we broke a record roughly four and a half hours. Here's the fun of it. Kirk slurping oysters at the beach. I had my first time to slurp one, last time to slurp one too. I don't like them. I didn't think I did. And then there's the Boken Camp family. Okay. So as I conclude here, I'm going to make a challenge for us. Well, no, first I'm going to share with you some prayer requests real quick. How can we support the Boken Camp family? You want to write these down? Pray for them better? Maybe you already know that you can. Pull out a pencil and paper. I'll give you a few things. I'll make it very quick. Number one, language learning. That's always on their heart. They're doing great. Dale mentioned there's a new guy that God's opened up the door for them. He's an English speaker, but he also speaks very good Spanish. His name, Benjamin, that's right, Ben, is helping them. There's tremendous spiritual battle there. I showed you that with the pictures there. Anywhere you go, there's a spiritual battle, but particularly in their area, they're not hearing the gospel, and they're celebrating the dead. Health, Kurt's been sick some with some bugs that you get down there. Fortunately, God's helped him through that. But praise the health of the Boken Camp family. And then evangelism and outreach efforts. There's much to be done there. I've already mentioned these to you, but one we didn't get to see. I already mentioned Raul. Armando's another one that Kurt is sharing the gospel with. You get to see him. He's an atheist, but he seemed to be open to hearing the gospel. Fortunately, we didn't get to meet with him when we were down there. And then Lisa and Lucia, they speak to the women, they speak to the children, they speak to everyone. That's another one. And making disciples. We pray for Sergio and Anna. They would grow in Christ. We pray for healthy churches. And Esteban's one of those. I think the churches that are healthy, some of the other churches need to grow in that. And they need leaders. They need gospel preaching pastors that are preaching the gospel. For Kirk, pray for clarity and vision as he leads. So let me just take another second or two. If you need to leave, go. But Kirk is in a situation where in the Northern Lights ministry, most of all the people are old, 70, 80, and their youngest of 70 fell off the roof. You heard about that, right? That was leading. If you know anything about them, Dwight, the ones, he fell off the roof. He can't continue. So basically, Kirk's left. That's it. So there's a transition here going on for Northern Lights. So they're going to hire someone else. Are they going to hire Kirk? We don't know all the answers yet, but pray for him as he thinks about how. The other thing that Kirk's trying to do is to lead this Northern Lights ministry to more an evangelism discipleship mentality. Quite frankly, in the past, it's about building buildings, about building churches, and those are all good. We need buildings, but there's not a clear vision, really, of planting churches and sharing the gospel. That's where we want to be, right? That's where Kirk wants to be. So growth and strength of the local churches connected to Northern Lights is important. Probably way too much. There we go. Finally, I can't stop without saying this. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Don't hear me. Hear God's word. It is more blessed to give than receive. It is more blessed to give than receive. So, I ask you, do you believe Jesus' words here? Do you really believe it? I have to ask myself, okay? But if we believe it, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for your witness to your family, your friends, your neighbors, those sitting next to you, wherever you work? What does it mean for those who live next to you in your neighborhood? How are you giving to them? How are you reaching out to them? How are you sharing the gospel with the lost people? Or could it be there's someone sitting here that's saying, you need to leave and go help the Boken camps, or you need to leave and go witness and bring the gospel to another nation. That's the way God works. He calls people to go to the nations to bring the good news of Jesus by telling them, it's more blessed that you give up what you have right now and go than for you to sit here and receive. What's God speaking to your heart? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our dear brother and sister, and certainly for the work they're doing there. These requests that we have put up here on the board that I've shared with, each one of them, Lord, deserves time for prayer. But I come to you now, and we come as a group to say, please, Lord, continue to use Kirk and Lisa and the family to preach the gospel, to share Christ, and to see healthy churches planted. And may all of those that you've granted them favor with to preach the gospel come to faith in Jesus, and may you build your kingdom there in El Papalote and in beyond, even to Oaxaca. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.